Hey, well, good morning, everybody. I'm excited to be here, excited to be in church. For those of you who don't know, I'm pretty sure everybody here knows, pastors out of the country right now. They're over in Sri Lanka trying to test out the Bible translation that they're working on. Before they go any further, they want to make sure what they're doing right now is going to be good. It's going to work. They've already completed a couple books of the Bible, a couple stories, and they're going to go around sharing them. Krista got pictures this morning from them. They're about 12 hours ahead. So right now it's about 10 o'clock for them. And so she got pictures today of their morning services and their evening services and what they're doing. And they're excited. And this morning, we had finished our lesson last week about loving our enemies and what it means to love our enemies and how we can love the way that God loves and share that same kind of selfless, a love that seeks the good of others rather than self, one that really puts us to the side and looks at the good of somebody else, not just somebody that we like, but an enemy, someone that actively seeks our demise, how to share that love. And we finished that lesson. And this morning, it was kind of a toss up on what I was going to do, whether go to the next lesson or wait, because the ladies in the back, they're going to be finished with the lesson that they're going through today, and then they'll be in here with us for the next couple weeks. And so I didn't want to start the next lesson and then have them come in the middle of a lesson and try to review. So this morning, I want to look at something a little different. I'd like to really look at how we, as a church, should treat our pastor. I feel like with him not being here, it might be a little less of a less odd kind of thing. With him away, we can be at liberty to say some things that we probably wouldn't say in his presence. Nothing bad, but just different thoughts and ideas on how we should treat our pastor. With everything that's been going on this week, with him being out of town and him saying, I need you to do the Sunday service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Given that opportunity, what a great opportunity that is, and what an overwhelming opportunity that is. I have a much deeper appreciation for what he does in preparing every Sunday. Having to prepare three different messages in a short span of time while doing other things was challenging. It's difficult because I have work I have to do. I have a family to take care of. And then I have three messages to bring today. And it can be overwhelming. And really, this part of it is almost the easy part. When you get to hear and you've studied everything and to share it, this is the enjoyable part. This is the main purpose of it, to open God's word and to share it with others. But it's also the enjoyable part. There's parts of a pastor's life or leaders in the church's life that we don't see. We don't see the hours of overtime that are put on the backside of things that they really don't. We think it's their job. Their reward's in heaven. Don't get me wrong. They're serving for a better purpose, but we don't see all of the extra that happens behind the scene. We're partakers and enjoyers of it, but we don't see all the little things that happen. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for us to take them and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. What I want to look at just briefly this morning, and then I'd like to take a few minutes and pray for Pastor as he's away and the work that he's trying to accomplish, God's work over there, and having a Bible translation. I want to look at how the Bible says as a church, what the Bible describes the pastor and how we should treat them. So if you have your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 5 and verse number 12. The Bible says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. God, I pray that you'd help us to learn the truth of how we are supposed to treat our pastor. God, I pray that you'd bless him as he's overseas. I pray that you'd keep him safe, protect him. I pray that you'd help him accomplish what they're seeking to do, Lord. I pray that you'd bring him back with a great report of all the wonderful things that have happened over there. God, we're looking forward to it. Thank you for this morning and be in the morning service, God. I pray that you'd open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Paul starts by saying to know them which labor among you. The word know, it doesn't mean just to think about. It's not to, yeah, I know Pastor Tim's the pastor at Heritage Baptist. We could say we know Pastor Paul Chapels, the pastor at West Coast. We can say we know them, but to know is more intimate. It's to really have a relationship with them. And he doesn't say to esteem a pastor because he's perfect, charismatic, popular, or he always agrees with us. He says to esteem them for their work's sake. So number one, we can know and appreciate our pastor. Notice the word labor. Know them which labor among you. Biblical pastoral ministry involves work that much of the congregation may never see. Studying scripture, preparing sermons, counseling people, praying for families, visiting the sick, dealing with problems, making difficult decisions, and carrying concern for the spiritual condition of the church. Those are all responsibilities of the pastor. It's not just someone who gets up here and reads the Bible to us. He's got so much more on the backside that we never see. And pastors across the country. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11:28, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." One way we can treat our pastor properly is to recognize the weight of the work that he carries. And a question that I have, just to think about, it's rhetorical, you don't answer this, but do we notice everything that pastor does, or do we only notice when he does something that we don't like? Do we recognize all of the good that happens, or do we only notice it when he says something that I don't care for, or when he makes a decision that I don't agree with, or when something happens and he handles it a certain way that I don't agree with that? Ignore all the good things he's doing, but this one bad thing I don't like and I'm going to criticize him for. Paul uses a very strong language. He says, he doesn't just say esteem them. He doesn't just say esteem them in love. He says esteem them very highly in love. To esteem someone means to regard or value them. This does not mean worshiping the pastor. That's bad teaching. There are many, very many people today who worship their pastor. This person cannot do anything wrong. Everything they say is right. Everything they say is true. They cannot be questioned. That's bad teaching. No pastor is perfect. They're men. They're the same as you and me. They can make mistakes. That's not what he's saying here. He's not saying to treat them like they're perfect. It doesn't mean pretending that doesn't have any faults either. It means that there should be genuine affection and respect for the man who ministers God's word to the congregation. There's a difference between honor, which would be God's given this man a serious responsibility and I want to respect it. And there's a difference between idolatry, like I said, that the pastor can never be wrong. He just can't be wrong. We can remember that the pastor watches for souls. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. We take this verse out of context and saying that this means to obey our worldly authorities, the people in government, the laws, which is okay. That aligns with other scripture. You can take it that way. But in this context, it's talking about church. It's talking about the people in church, where it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Watch. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. A pastor merely isn't just responsible for organizing church services. He's supposed to watch for your souls. Think about the seriousness of that and this next phrase, as they must give an account. A pastor will answer for God, a pastor will answer to God for how he shepherd God's people. That should change how both sides view this relationship. We as a church and the pastor of a church. It should change the way we view each other. The congregation, people will often think the pastor works for us. We pay his bills. We give the tithe and the offering, and that's what we pay him for. This is his responsibility. He should do this. This is what he gets paid for. But that we understand that that's not what it is. He doesn't work for us. And the pastor shouldn't think that this is my church. These are my people. I am in charge of them. The Bible's very clear that it talks about shepherding the church, not lording over them. They don't rule over us. We're submissive to Christ. He says, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the position. It's the shepherd. The people belong to Christ, and the pastor is a steward who will answer to Christ for how he cared for them. The next thing I can say is, don't make the work of the pastor unnecessarily grievous. The verse continues, that they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The pastor is going to give an account for each individual person that has been placed under his authority in the local church. I know a pastor right now who is grieved to his core, to the point to where he's contemplating giving up because of the way that church members are dealing with each other. It's grieving him, and it's something that could easily be changed by the people. And he will stand before God and give an account individually for these people on what they did in the ministry. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I think that we can grieve. We can have our account that a pastor gives for us. It can be grieving when he spends his whole life in the ministry trying to help push you forward to grow closer to Christ, and we refuse to. We're comfortable with where we're at. We don't want to go any further. Can you imagine giving an account? Give an account for so-and-so. I did my best to try to get them closer to you. I did everything I could to help push them along, but they were comfortable with where they were at. I think that can be a grieving testimony, or grieving account on somebody. Not just somebody who caused problems, but somebody that I dedicated, I spent time, I put effort into, and they just would not grow. A question that we should ask ourselves is, am I helping my pastor serve with joy, or am I unnecessarily adding to his burden? Another thing we can do is pray for our pastor. After discussing the spiritual leadership in Hebrews, the writer says, pray for us. One of the greatest things that we could do as a church is to pray for our pastor. Now I think it's a little more present because he's not here. Let's pray for him while he's away. Pray that God protects him. Pray that he keeps him safe. We want him to come back. So pray that God takes care of him. But there's many other things that we could pray for our pastor on a regular basis. What would some of those things be? Do you have an idea, David?
Encouragement.
Encouragement. Pray for encouragement. Absolutely. There's so many times that they can get discouraged that we won't even know. You will never see it. But there could be situations or circumstances happening that are grieving them, that they need encouragement on. What else can we pray for our pastor?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. He's making decisions. He's our shepherd here. He's not the good shepherd, but the pastor is described as a shepherd. He leads the flock. So he's going to make decisions. Where am I going to lead them? To lead them to this area, to lead them to over here, to guide them this direction. He needs wisdom in making those decisions. What else could we pray for him for? I've got a list. I've got a long list. There's a bunch of different things we could pray for our pastor about. So how about understanding Scripture? You can spend hours. I've done this week. Hours on one word to try to understand what it means. I spent the last 2 weeks for this morning's service trying to understand a phrase that I thought I knew. And it wasn't until last night, at 10 o'clock last night, that I finally realized what it was saying. That it finally came to me. I thought I knew what it was. You can spend so much time. So pray that he would understand the Scripture. Pray that God reveals him. How about courage to preach truth? Courage to stand up and say, this is what God says, and not be afraid to offend. Understanding that it's motive out of a pure heart. That it's love. It's coming from love. Not just to offend. I know you're doing this. This is a terrible thing you're doing. You need to stop doing it. But speaking the truth in love. Having courage to stand for what's right. What about compassion towards people? Boy, people can make you mad. People can take you off sometimes. People can be very frustrating. Sometimes you get tired of dealing with people. I work... right now, we're doing a job out at... Complex 37. SpaceX just took it over. They blew the pad up to the ground and they're rebuilding it from the ground up. We're doing right now some sandblasting in that area. Keep in mind, it's a dirt hole. There's dirt everywhere. For whatever reason, they want me to contain everything that we're doing. It's sand. That's all it is. It's just sand. And it's in the middle. It's the only place that I've ever had to do this out there. I could be in the middle of a busy area and they wouldn't care, but in the middle of a dirt hole, they care. And so we deal with the safety that comes out there constantly bothering, and it gets, okay, can I do this? Yeah, you can do that. Okay, I do that. No, you can't do that. Okay, well, and so people can wear you down. Imagine people in church. People in church can be very, very tired. Not here. I haven't seen it here, but other places that I've seen. Like I said, that pastor that's going through this right now, dealing with people who are just grieving him to where he's about to give up. Compassion towards people. How about protection against temptation?
That's right.
They're human too. They go through the same things we go through. It's the same thing. Strength when discouraged. How about this? Humility when successful. Yeah. Remaining humble. Faithfulness to his family and a close walk with God. It's much easier to criticize someone's weakness than to faithfully pray for God to strengthen them. 1 Timothy 5:17 says this, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the Scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward." The context is showing that honor includes more than a verbal respect. It includes appropriate material support. A church should not expect a pastor to devote himself to ministry while deliberately making it difficult for him to provide for his household. Paul makes this more clear in Corinthians, where he says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." Another way we can support our pastor is not to entertain careless accusations. Little words of gossip. Can you believe what he said? Do you know what that means? You know he means this? You know he believes that? Can you believe this? In 1 Timothy he says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Pastors are particularly vulnerable to rumors because their work involves people. Scripture, therefore, establishes protection against unsubstantiated accusations. This means that Christians should be extremely careful about statements beginning with, did you hear about this? Someone told me. Everybody says. A church should never become a breeding ground for gossip about its pastor. And we as men should be the first to stand up to defend. Now, that, like I said, it doesn't mean the pastor's perfect. It doesn't mean he can't make mistakes. We'll read in just a little bit that if there's something wrong that's happening, that he's to be held accountable to what the Word of God says. But if things are being said that aren't true, that we should be the first to snuff that out. Hey, that's not true. Don't say that. That's wrong. That's not right. We're not going to go and accuse somebody of something that we don't have evidence for. That's why it says, except two or three witnesses. So if there is something going on, bring two or three witnesses to confront them about it. But to entertain any kind of God, no way. What? I didn't know that. I can't believe that. It happens. You wouldn't believe it, but it happens. It happens in the workplace towards people. Oh, it starts with one little thing. You believe this guy? And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're the worst person in the company because of one thing that wasn't even true. And can I tell you what it also does? It can affect the way that people see the pastor. It'll affect the way they hear messages that are preached. It could be the greatest message in the world, but the person sitting there thinking, I can't believe that he thinks that. I can't believe he thinks that way when it's not even true. Don't entertain the careless accusations. In Proverbs 6, it actually says something God hates is he that soweth discord among the brethren. And then don't treat the pastor as if he cannot be corrected. There's a very serious balance. The very next verse after that says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Scripture protects elders, pastors from false accusations, but it does not protect them from legitimate accountability. Peter himself, one of Christ's apostles, was publicly confronted by Paul when he was wrong. Paul says, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. He was held accountable for something that he did. And that's healthy. A healthy church can say, we honor our pastor, and our pastor is held accountable to what God's word says. That's our responsibility. That doesn't mean questioning everything that he does. This doesn't mean that we become accusatory over everything. But we are told to try the spirits to see whether they be of God, to make sure that what he's saying is true by aligning it with what the Bible says. Follow his example as he follows Christ. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Paul expressed the same principle when he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Christian leadership is never ultimately about creating followers of man. A good pastor should be leading people towards Christ. Five things we can do, and then we'll close out in prayer for our pastor. Five things we can do as church members. The first is to pray for them. Pray for them. They watch for our souls as church members. Pray for them rather than merely talking about them. Encourage him when he faithfully is preaching God's word, when he's following Christ. Encourage him. Respect his leadership without placing him above Scripture. Protect him from gossip while maintaining biblical accountability. Help carry the ministry instead of expecting the pastor to do everything. The central verse, the main thing I want to point out, was in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, where it says, "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." The biblical goal isn't worshiping the pastor, and it's not criticizing the pastor. It's a congregation that loves, prays for, supports, respects, and cooperates with faithful spiritual leadership, while everyone, including the pastor, remains under the authority of Christ and His Word. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for this opportunity to speak. God, I pray that You'd help us to appreciate our pastor. Help us to learn how to esteem him very highly in love, God, as he follows You. Help us to learn and follow from him as he points us to You. God, thank You for the opportunity this morning. God, I pray You'd be with me. I pray You'd open hearts. I pray You'd be with the services. I pray that You'd work in them. God, may Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.